CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. To the south of France, to Simon Constable living in paradise outside of Albi, we begin with Simon's walk in the garden. And we have discovered that he is the possessor of annual honesty. They're also called honesties. These are also called silver dollar plant. They're beautifully purple. They're full in bloom here, Holy Week of late March. They're called popularly Chedglow. The botanical name is Lunaria annua. Simon, you are the possessor of a beautiful plant. How does this compare to the rest of your garden? Is this early to bloom? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. It's not particularly early to bloom, but it was notable that the grass and all the crops around in the fields around us are growing very quickly. This popped up when I was walking around with the dog in the garden earlier today, about, you know, maybe a couple of hours ago, and it was absolutely stunning to look at. So it was a bright purple, looking very happy and very healthy. It's very nice to see that. We've already had the daffodils. Other things are coming up, like euphorbia. It's very good. We're basically waiting for the big push that will happen when the sun really starts coming out 7 days a week. And when that happens, things grow at a speed that you can watch happening instead of having to come back a couple of days later to see how much it's grown. You can actually watch it happen.
You are in the farm belt of France. You're surrounded by farmers well-to-do, and you tell me everything grows in the south of France. So let's go immediately, now that we've celebrated your spring-like climate, go immediately to commodities, and I'm keenest on refined oil, that would be diesel, which is used heavily by farm equipment everywhere, especially in Europe, and also by automobiles in Europe. Your automobile has... Have you seen any change in the price of diesel these last weeks, especially since the Ukrainian attack on refineries in Russia?
Surprisingly, not. But a part of that is because so much of the price is made up of taxes that the government imposes, and they use that money to maintain the roads. So it's now €1.79 per liter, and that's only up a penny from a couple of weeks ago. So that's a sign that it's very much stable in Europe, and there's certainly no shortage here. And obviously, we'd all like it to be a lot lower, and it was a lot lower a few years ago. In fact, we're at levels now that haven't been seen in a very long time, and hopefully it will come down a bit more. But I was very surprised that it hadn't gone up, because we were seeing now $86 per barrel for Brent crude oil, which is the European benchmark and in many ways the benchmark for the world. And that went up after the tensions between Ukraine and Russia jumped up a bit a few weeks ago. So maybe it's going to come through later and hit us in the pocketbook, but who knows?
Yes, and we set aside your electricity bill because it's a mystery in France. Heavily nuclear-powered electricity, and the French bill differently than in a fashion in the U.S. So I go to food prices. Now, food prices begin with grain and corn and soy, I understand. Our food prices, however, in the groceries are a burden to American income right now. Food inflation has hit us very hard, and that is also the same back in the United Kingdom, your home. How about food inflation in France? Do you see it in the farm belt?
I do not really see it in the farm belt. If we're talking about fresh produce straight off the fields, if you like, you call it farmers' markets and things like that, you don't see a heck of a lot of inflation in that. I know in the UK, the food inflation is still growing at about 4.5%, which is a pretty brutal level of it coming up. One thing we do have to remember, though, with all food that you get from a supermarket or a shop, you're having to pay the costs of diesel fuel. And that's, as I said, a lot more than it used to be. And as a customer, you end up paying for that delivery to the shop and then picking it up yourself. So we're seeing some inflation in that, but it's nothing like as much as it is in the UK. But I guess they don't have quite as big a agricultural sector as does France.
We go to the UK for politics because right now the Tories, who've been in power for 13 years, sometimes people think of it as 1300 years, have fallen completely apart. According to a poll I saw flash across my screen, there is now a 99% chance, according to the touts, that Labour will be in the majority following the next general election that could be as early as May. We don't know. We're not certain. That not only is there a 99% chance that Labour will win, and Simon's remark when I first mentioned it to him was, that low? The other part that is a puzzle is a column in the Telegraph, which is identified with the Conservative Party, the Tory Telegraph, saying, can the Conservatives go lower? And the resounding answer with exclamation point was yes. What has happened, Simon? They're also talking about spilling, turning out Sunak and choosing a new PM before the election. What's happened to the Tories? Why are they tearing each other apart?
Well, it's a really interesting question. And it's a very simple answer, I think, is that the party has become fractured down the middle. So for a long while, the Conservative Party was, if you like, a church that had a lot of different pews that you could sit at and have different views that were not at total odds with your colleagues in the party. But that has gone away. Now we've got the split between people who are very much keen on Brexit and people who aren't keen on Brexit. And it's fracturing this thing into two so that basically it becomes unmanageable for whoever the leader is. It will be unmanageable. So it's breaking itself. And a friend of mine has said, a house divided cannot stand. And that is exactly what you have with the Conservative Party. It is divided in ways that I've never seen before, and I hope not to see again. I hope the party can get its act together again. And so it doesn't surprise me that some people on the right of the party are saying, okay, get rid of Sunak, he's too centrist, we'll have somebody else. But that won't work because there are people who aren't that far right and who are centrist who will want somebody else. So basically you're seeing the splintering. And it's really a recipe for losses for a while. It may be another decade, if as predicted, because the party loses the next election. It may take another 10 years for them to come back and get their act together. And maybe that's what's required. Who knows?
Labour is promising leadership. Is it also promising higher taxes and demanding social services? We have 30 seconds.
Definitely, they want to overhaul the social services situation, which is the National Health Service, and that's really important to most British people. In fact, almost everyone I know wants that to be fixed. And taxes, most people don't want more taxes, and so I don't think that they will do that immediately. We'll see what happens when that comes around.
Simon Constable in the south of France, writing for Barron's and Wall Street Journal, and also visiting his annual Honesty Flowering in the Garden, springtime in the south of France. I'm John Bat.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,